the fuck did I marry?
So many red flags that, I mean, you would have thought I was colorblind because I ignored all of them.
I knew better. My mom has always taught me, do not ever put yourself in a position where you were financially dependent on a man. I snapped.
Risa Tisa broke the internet when she decided to create a 50-part series titled Who the Fuck Did I Marry? If you're dedicated, you can watch it in 1x speed on TikTok. I had to watch it in 2x speed. There's a lot to cover, a lot to discuss, and honey, I got some things to say. In addition to that, we will also be receiving a call from an anonymous caller, and we will be speaking with a licensed professional counselor to better understand why people become pathological liars and to also gain tips on how to navigate a relationship with a pathological liar. We're getting into a lot today. All right, you guys, without further ado, sit back, relax, and let's get into it. What's up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Constance Annan Show. I am your host, Constance Annan. But y'all can call me Constance, all right? Because y'all can't get the last name right anyways. Y'all haven't been getting it right anyways. I got on this pinstripe. I got on stripes. I really hate stripes. I don't know what made me throw on this look. I spent about 45 minutes trying to figure out what to wear. And I was like, you know what? We're just going to thug it out and push through. I don't know if this gets an in thank you from me. I don't know if it gets an in thank you from you. But it's on for today. So we're going to make it do what it do. I also have a new hairdo. For the people that are listening in, y'all are missing out on a lot. All right, I have this short, curly, red, braided hairstyle. I'm usually long, bust-down black braids. Y'all seen the braids last couple episodes. I don't know what made me do this, but it's definitely got me feeling like a third grader. Like, the colored braids are cute for little Susie Joe hopscotching outside, right? I don't know if it's given the Constance Annan Show, host of the Constance Annan Show, Constance Annan. That's what I don't know if it's given. But it's okay. Again, we're going to push through and we're going to make it do. What are we talking about today, y'all? I don't have anything planned. We're going off the top of the dome. But you know what I have been keeping apprised on, what I've been tuned and tapped into lately? I've been tuned and tapped into TikTok. I'm sure y'all have been too. Okay? Who has been watching Miss Risa Tisa's Who the Fuck Did I Marry series? Now, if you don't know what I'm referring to, Miss Risa Tisa is a woman that created an over 50-part series explaining who she married. In that series, she goes on to tell us that she married a pathological liar. Now, a lot of us throw that term around. You know, we say that this person was a liar, that person was a liar. No, the man she married was a real live pathological liar. His name is Legion. Now, I don't know how I can give you guys a quick synopsis and rundown of the story before I get into what I have to say. And I will try. But Miss Risa Tisa, every night, I got in my bed, you know, I chewed on my snacks, I sat back, and I watched a few parts trying to give you the benefit of the doubt. But every time I tuned into the series, I saw where you went wrong. Now, this is not a blame Risa Tisa segment. This is a open your eyes next time reminder for everybody. Because while you're sitting at home laughing at Risa Tisa and Legion, honey, you could be Risa Tisa. And God forbid you ever become Legion. Let's get through the synopsis. We've got a man and we got a woman. They meet online. They are interested in dating. They actually meet up for a date. So they meet online on a dating website. They meet up at a restaurant. At the restaurant, they sit and they discuss. They get to know one another. Mind you, this is also around the time COVID is introduced to us. All right? So, you know, early 2020, COVID is introduced. Quarantine has not yet occurred, but these two have met. Now, fast forward a little bit, a few weeks, they announce quarantine. So this couple that has just met now decides, like, hey, we got to quarantine together. Where are we going to quarantine? Now, the guy just moved from California to Georgia. You know, he left his ex-wife. He left his stepchildren. He's now in Georgia, starting over, creating a new life. He's staying in like some Airbnb or apartment, some temporary space. He needs to buy a home. Now, Risa Tisa already has a home because she resides in Georgia. Because quarantine is approaching, they decide to quarantine at Risa Tisa's house until it is time for the man Legion to buy a home. Now, I got to stop there. Risa Tisa, why the fuck did you agree to moving in and quarantining with a man that you just met? That is where the story really went left for me. Like, you know, the story progresses and then we start to hear his lies. The lies are outrageous. Egregious, dare I say it. But when I heard that she decided to quarantine after just meeting this man, that is when all red flags started waving and shaking loudly and brightly in my face. Moving in with somebody you just met, you asking for problems. Yeah, you most definitely asking for problems. Moving in with somebody you just met on a dating website, you don't even care about your life. Let me tell y'all, one movie that I will never ever forget is For Color Girls. And you know, the woman went on a date with that seemingly nice man and then he raped her. Ever since then, I've been on my P's and Q's. Like, okay, just because I met you and you nice today don't mean you can't be fucked up in 20 minutes. I gotta leave enough buffer time for me to get to know who you are for real. So Risa Tisa, that's where you went wrong. Next on the list, this man lied about buying a home. So like I said, he uprooted his life and moved to Georgia. He said he was going to buy a home. Now, in the meantime, he was staying with Risa Tisa. They decided to get a home together. I'm getting even more concerned because how y'all go from quarantining together, now y'all ready to buy a home together. They're really trying to lock in without actually locking in. They ain't married yet. So they want to buy a home together, and I ain't judging. I'm just giving y'all the facts. Okay, Risa Tisa, in case you watching, I ain't shitting on you, girl. I would love to have you come on the show, and we could talk even more. But they're getting ready to buy a home together. He tells her that he bought the home and the home is under contract in his name. Risa Tisa goes to do her own research, come to find out that the house is under contract under an old white couple. But Legion's still saying he bought the home. Anyways, what does Risa Tisa decide to do? She decides to stay with this man. Sometimes it's really okay to like take what you see and run with that. You don't gotta make no excuse for why somebody might have did XYZ. What they did is what they did. You've seen it. You didn't like it. Leave. Just leave. Just leave. Risa Tisa, baby, your story is one that I don't wish on anybody. But it's also one that I feel like you asked for because you continued to entertain the idea of this man possibly not being a liar, even though he clearly was a liar. Y'all, let's get into the fact that this man would be on the phone every day with somebody, but he wasn't even really on the phone with somebody. He was making up his own conversations. Talking about, hey, Julie, what's up, Julie? Girl, yes. Hold up, let me see if my wife wanna say something to you. You wanna talk to Julie? No, you busy? Oh, okay, no problem. Julie, she busy. And this is the conversation that they're having, that he's having by himself on the phone. So I'm saying something ain't right with Legion. This is just the beginning. Like, the story continues and more lies come out and she stays with him and stays with him and stays with him and more lies and more lies and more lies and more lies. I couldn't even tell y'all all the lies if I wanted to. I gave y'all the short version, but after listening to it, I really can appreciate the importance of our intuition and the importance of listening to our intuition. Throughout Risa Tisa's story, she goes on to say, like, I knew it wasn't right. I knew that this was wrong. Something didn't feel right. The Holy Spirit told me this. I had an inclination. You cannot neglect those inclinations. You just can't. I've had instances in my life where I had a gut feeling not to do something. I did it, and then I instantly regretted it. That intuition, I really think that our intuition is God's voice. And I have never, ever listened to my intuition and honored what it was telling me and regretted it. Because of this story and because of Risa Tisa, I went to my followers. Y'all know I love talking to my followers. And I asked them about the craziest lie anybody had ever told them. And this is what my followers had to say. Someone said they got millions but can't afford to put gas in their car. The math ain't mathin'. That is hilarious. Why do people be lying about their finances? Either you got it or you don't got it. As a matter of fact, I think it's always better to say you don't got it than to be walking around saying you got it, because now you got everybody thinking you got it and you about to be getting asked for a whole lot of, can I have this? Can I have that? Can I get this? Can I get that? And you don't got it. So then you about to be stressed and you about to be telling more lies. Like, the worst lie you could ever tell is that you got money when you don't got money. Why did you even choose your finances as a thing to lie about? Why did you even bring your finances up? Like, if I was broke, I'm avoiding all conversations about money. For real, for real. If I was rich, I would avoid all conversations about money because I don't need nobody asking me for shit. Some ain't right about the people that lie about their finances. Next person said they lied and said that they were straight when they were gay as fuck, which isn't a problem unless it's my boyfriend. Yeah, I think we understand for the most part why people lie about their sexuality. And it's unfortunate we live in a world where people got to do that. The next follower said they love me. And it was my fault that they cheated and got pregnant. Not it was your fault that they cheated and got pregnant. How you make them go cheat and get pregnant? Manipulation at its finest. The next person, this might be the best one. And we might need you to come on the show and tell the story in full. This follower said, I'm private, .. Then they blocked me to post his potential child. He blocked you to post his potential child, meaning he blocked you to post a child that he might be having with someone else. He didn't even go confirm that child was his before he blocked you and posted it. He was ready to post about that baby girl, and I hope you left his ass. I got one more submission, and it says, so this submission actually said, and this was a Dear Constance submission, and it says, Dear Constance, all I'm going to say is I'm living Risa Tisa's life. I'm seeing the same red flags, but we have a child and we're married and I can't get out. Don't judge me. Oh, that's crazy. If he lying to you, then he lying to the child. How could y'all ever have a good household? What's going on? At what point did the lies begin? Did the lies begin after the marriage or before the marriage? Baby, we need you on the show. Who wrote this submission? Whoever wrote this submission, I want you to DM me. Please, 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 please. Please DM me. And let's have you come on the show. Please. So I can ask my questions. You know I be having questions. All right, you guys. So I was able to get in contact with the anonymous Dear Constance submission, the viewer that wrote into the show. Okay. And so we are going to talk to them and we're going to get some more insight and details to figure out what was going on in the relationship to lead them up to marriage, despite the fact that they were dealing with a pathological liar. So they have requested to remain anonymous. We will be calling them Sid for the purpose of today's episode. Okay, Sid, thank you so much for joining me. I'm so happy to have you. Your submission that you wrote in says, all I'm going to say is I am living her life. I'm seeing the same red flags, but we have a child and we're married and I can't get out. Don't judge me. Okay, I have a lot of questions. I think the first question being, when you say you are seeing a lot of the same red flags, can you go into detail and explain to me what red flags you are experiencing in your relationship?
So the red flags that I'm seeing is that just things not adding up. The math is not mathing. I'm being told that there's money in the accounts and there is no money. The person always has to be like the star, the center, and talking amongst a group of people. And, you know, always putting on this persona as if they have it and they got it all, bragging. And then I look at this person and in the back of my head, I'm like, are we living the same life? Because I don't know anything about these things that you say that you have. And I think in the very beginning of the relationship, I was told about these things. And not to say like I brushed them off like they were red flags, but I'm not a materialistic person or a person who cares about anything that anyone has. So whether you have it or not, it never bothered me. It's just like it's getting to the point where you'll say things and I'm not supposed to question the things that you say. And if I question it, you get upset. What people don't realize when you lie is that it's hard to keep on top of a lie. So when you are questioned about it and it's in the heat of the moment and you can't think of a response to make it make sense, you know, you get frustrated and you get upset.
And so how long did it take you to figure out that this person was a liar?
So it took me quite a while. It took until we started living together for me to see that. So I'd probably say maybe a year and a half. And then because we are in closer quarters, that's when I noticed hey, you know, some of the stuff that you're saying doesn't make any sense because I'm more present to be able to identify the things that I was told.
Okay, so when you're checking this person and you're seeing that, okay, what they said today don't match up with what they said 2 weeks from now, how did we get from, all right, this person's a liar, I'm calling you out on your lies, and now we're married? What made you say, okay, let's get married, despite the fact that they were a liar?
So this is not the right answer, but I got married to help them. I can't say specifically how I got married to help them because people might figure it out. Mm-hmm. But it was to help them out. Not like legally or anything like that, but just to help them with other things that they had going on. Yeah, that's it's kind of vague, but it's just, it really was just to help them out. And then, you know, as things started to spiral more, I'm like, who the fuck did I marry? So, because I'm like, where was this person? Like, why do you feel like you have? And it's like little things. Like, I didn't fact check, I didn't Google check, but when you tell me certain things, and these results should be publicized because they have been publicized, when I say since like the 60s and the 70s, and you're not on there.
I know you're not trying to get too specific, but I need a little bit of specifics. Like, I need at least an example of a lie. So if the example that you're writing me right now is too specific, you don't have to use that one. Find, like, try to give me an example of a lie that this person told that you caught them in.
Okay, so I had a bill that needed to be paid, and this person had to go somewhere before I had to go to work. And the amount of time that it takes to go and come back was the exact amount of time that they were gone for. But they said that they had gone there and paid this bill. And I'm like, it's not possible, because that would have taken you an extra 30 minutes out of your way. So when I'm questioning you about this, like, you're getting upset. And then I question the person that you said you paid the bill to, and they're like, yeah, that didn't happen. And then it's like, now you're questioning people who are my resources, like, you don't believe me. And I'm like, well, you leave me no choice, because I'm not the type of person. Like, if I don't like to owe anyone, it can be, you know, a little bit of money. I just don't like to feel like I owe anyone. So, like, if I'm asking them something and they're telling me, no, it didn't happen, but you're telling me it did, it just does. And that's just one instance. Another instance was like, I watched you lie in front of my face. Like, we're going out, and, you know, something is not right, and you pick up the phone to the establishment and you call them and said, hey, you know, this isn't right. You know, we go here every week. And I'm like, every week? We haven't been here in like months. So I'm like, if you would tell such a small lie in front of my face, you know, what would you do behind my back? So little things like that just caused me to question everything about the relationship, unfortunately.
Okay. And I think that that's fair. In your submission, you had mentioned that you guys had a child together. So I have to ask, why would you have a child with this person? Or what made you have a child with this person, despite the fact that they lied? Because just as you said, like, if you're going to, you know, as something as simple as how often do you come here, they're lying about that. So that means that this person is willing to lie about the smallest thing. So how could you entrust them with a child? Why did you entrust them with a child? What led you to continue to take next steps instead of just seeking a divorce the minute you found out that, okay, this person's a liar?
There are a lot of things that are going on. I think right when I started to find out the lies, I was already pregnant. There really wasn't much that I could do in terms of that. And despite everything, this person, they're an amazing person. I just don't understand the need to lie. Like, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I could easily be an Insta daddy. I choose not to be. Like, it's not my preference, but you don't have to have a certain lifestyle to impress me. I don't require this. So I just don't understand, like, why you continue to, you know, perpetuate the narrative that it is when it isn't.
And have you asked them why they're lying?
I have. We've had a conversation. What? And the response is pretty much, I'm accustomed to being in the limelight, and I don't know And the conversation was like, I was like, you know what? You don't have to be like that with me. They agreed. And then the behavior keeps on happening.
Okay, so what's your game plan? Are you going to stay with this person? You want a divorce from this person? What is your plan?
Sadly, I'm a ride or die. I know I sound stupid. I see the look on your face.
Yeah, because you could be a ride or die when it's something to ride or die for, but how are you going to ride or die for a liar? You don't even know what you're riding for is what they said you need to ride for.
So maybe ride or die was the wrong terminology, but being as though we have a child, I now understand as a parent what it is to sacrifice for your child. And my child needs both parents in the home. I see a difference in my child. And I don't think I've ever loved anyone more than I love my child. So I'm gonna have to just eat it. Now, what this has caused within me, and I never thought that I would have thoughts like this, is should I be a sugar baby? Should I step out on my relationship? Like, this has caused thoughts that I never had because I'm in a position that I've never been in.
Right.
Now, I'm not gonna do it because I'm just way too paranoid when it comes to my health. But the questions have definitely come up in my head.
I feel like that was going to be like my next question. Like, why not have a conversation about shifting the dynamic of the relationship, right? So it's one thing for you guys to both be in the same household and you guys are co-parenting. You don't think that it would be possible, or you're not interested in, kind of separating. Y'all could still live in the same house. Y'all could pull, I don't know if you ever seen Real Housewives of Potomac, but y'all could pull like a Robin and Juan. Like, y'all just live in a house together, but y'all not actually together. That way you can go explore other romantic interests while not feeling like you're tied down to somebody that doesn't really match what it is that you're looking for, moral and value wise.
That does make sense. Emotionally, that person can't handle seeing me with someone else if I'm just gonna be like keeping it 100% real. They can't handle it. And just back to what I said before, even though the thoughts are there in my head, I just require a lot to be with somebody. That's why I said a sugar baby,
Right.
and no nothing, no sugar.
Right,
But
right, right.
just. I don't know. I think I'm just focused on other things in my life outside of this, that's on the back burner.
Could I ask you a question just about you and how this is all taking a toll on you mentally? Like, how are you able to be happy and you are cooped up in this house with somebody that just isn't who you thought they were?
Happiness is a state of mind. I don't allow myself to be in an unhappy place no matter what's going on with me. I just don't feel like it can be detrimental to your health, both mentally and physically. So I just keep it moving. I don't sit and dwell on the what ifs and the what could be's. I just do what I gotta do. And I'm content with that. Like, I'm at the point in my life where I don't blame anyone for where I'm at. This is all on me. And I just have to own it and move forward accordingly.
Okay, I can respect that. I like that. I like to hear that you're not living in like shame, or you're not like, excuse me, beating yourself up about it based on your decision. Because I've in the past, I've definitely beat myself up about things that I have done. Even though I cannot change it, I still will dwell on it. So I can respect your mindset as far as, not dwelling in the past and not allowing this to like ruin your happiness or affect your happiness or how you feel. I don't know. To me, girl, I hear what you're saying. I don't 100% 10% agree. I think that you could probably find a way to break loose from this person. But if that's what floats your boat, that's what floats your boat. I guess the last question that I have for you is, do you have any advice for people in your situation? Because you're not the only person. We've seen Risa Tisa. There are a lot of people dealing with liars. What is the advice that you have for any woman or man in a relationship with a pathological liar?
So I just wanted to say one more. I don't think I missed the red flags because there were none in the very beginning. I also want to mention that there were a lot of traumatic things that occurred after the first year of our relationship. So we both shifted emotionally, and I think that shift caused us to not see each other's red flags. I'm certain I have red flags myself, but yeah, a lot of things transpired that caused this to happen. I would just say, who's I don't know who said it. I think it was Ocho Cinco said, within the first 6 months, you're not meeting that person, you're meeting their representative. So just take a little bit more time to get to know that person and be in close quarters with them, because people are going to be a different person when you're only seeing them on a one-off situation versus when you're seeing them on a consistent basis, when you're in their space or when they're in your space for extended periods of time.
I feel you. I feel you. I like that. I agree with that. I'm all about taking your time, keeping it cool, taking it slow. So, y'all heard it here. Y'all have heard from Sid. She gave you some good advice on what to do if you were in a similar situation. Before we end today's episode, I wanted to seek some professional advice from a licensed professional counselor. Now, this should not be a substitute for therapy. If your ass needs therapy, go get you some therapy. Today, we'll be joined by Paula Harrison Hill. She is a licensed professional counselor in the state of Virginia, and she has been working in the behavioral health field for over 10 years. All right, so without further ado, let's go ahead and get into it and get some practical advice on dealing with pathological liars.
Okay, so like she said, my name is Paula Harrison Hill. I am a licensed professional counselor in the Commonwealth of Virginia, and I have been in the mental health field for about 15 years. So it's been a pretty long time, and I currently work two jobs. Most of us in the mental health profession, we have at least two jobs, and I've seen a wide range of behaviors from childhood to adults. I have seen some behaviors that mimic pathological lying. So definitely no slouch when it comes to this, but I do just want to notify anybody listening or watching that although I am a licensed mental health professional, what I say is in no way intended to be taken as therapeutic advice. And watching this or listening to this does not substitute for an actual relationship with a mental health provider in your state. Also, I will also say this. Some of what I may say may just be lived experience. So, with that, we can go ahead and get started.
I think my first question for you before we get into the tips of dealing with a pathological liar, do you know what makes someone become a pathological liar? Like, is it an addiction? Like, why would somebody pick up this habit?
So the short answer to the question is no, I do not. That's more of a psychologist question too, because they study pathology, which is essentially like tracing an illness from origin to end. An end is usually death, but pathology is not just medical. Pathology does occur in the psychological field as well. And so what I do know about liars, whether it's pathological or compulsive, it comes out of some type of need that may have not been met at some very pivotal stage in a person's life. Sometimes people develop that habit of lying due to trauma they've experienced. And the trauma does not always have to be violent or of a sexual nature. Trauma can come from neglect. Trauma can come from not being heard, not being taken care of, feeling like no one cares about you. Those things can also be considered trauma as well. And so when people develop that habit, I think a lot of it is out of a need to feel seen, be heard, and to make me feel better than they perceive themselves to be. Sometimes it can be out of an insecurity. So to an there's a huge answer to that question. There's no one single reason. Additionally, people who may be pathological or compulsive liars, also, let me backtrack. Being a pathological liar is not a mental illness. Being a compulsive liar is also not a mental illness. So let's just make that clear. However, those behaviors are features of certain mental illnesses, usually personality disorders. And so, with a personality disorder, we're talking about somebody who's just functioning in a certain way. It's a longstanding pattern of behavior and is likely not going to change. But it becomes a disorder when it's disruptive to the person's life and it starts to spill over into other people's lives.
You mentioned that it was like, it could be a response to trauma. Is it something that can be healed? Like, can you heal from being a pathological liar and no longer be one? Is that possible?
I think it is possible, but I'll put it to you like this. It probably needs to be taken, like, for instance, if you have an addiction and you're engaging in addictive behavior and everybody around you can see that this addictive behavior is destroying you. But if you're the addict, you're like, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. You know, your life may be falling apart, but as long as you can get your next fix, you don't really see the long-term effects of what you're doing. And the only way that an addict is going to come to the reality and acknowledgement that they need help is to admit it to themselves first. So with pathological liars or compulsive liars, they have to recognize that the pattern that they're interacting in is harmful, not only to themselves, but to other people. And they have to want to fix it. But sometimes these lies are so intricate, they're almost like fantasies. So it's very hard to break that barrier of the fantasy versus reality for somebody who lies and just cannot help themselves.
Right. I understand that. So then this is the last question. When it comes down to trying to break through that wall, or I guess really just trying to navigate a relationship with someone that has created this fantasy for themselves and being a pathological liar, how can one navigate a relationship with a pathological liar, especially if it's a case where it's like you're dealing with a mother, or I had an anonymous caller call in and, you know, their husband is a pathological liar. Like, you can't really break from that unless you run into divorce. Should you run into divorce? Like, how should these relationships be handled?
Okay, so here I go with another layered answer. Paula, the therapist, is gonna say run. Paula, the human being, is also gonna say run because dealing with somebody who has those behaviors, at some point, it may involve you. You may become entangled into, you know, the lies that they have spun. And what are you willing to lose? That's how I would approach that question. If I had a person in session I was talking to about that, or a friend, I would ask them, how much are you willing to lose? What are you willing to lose to be with this person if you're recognizing that their patterns are harmful, that pretty much you can't verify anything they say? Also, a relationship is built on trust. Is there trust? Mm-hmm. I would venture to say no, because if you've identified that this person is a liar, probably 99% of what they've told you is lies. So there cannot be, like, that's one of the foundational principles of a relationship. Think back to, like, just your friendships. If you ain't gonna hold me down, we can't be friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not friends because I can't trust you. I can't fully put my trust in you that if something falls apart, you have my back. And with people who engage in pathological or compulsive lying, they're not lying to avoid truth or anything. They're lying to protect themselves from whatever they're, you know, trying to run from. Right. They're lying to protect themselves. So their lies are about them. It's to keep them safe. Is to secure whatever they're trying to secure. In some people's cases, it could be money, it could be housing, it could be material possessions, it could be love. But they're gonna lie to ensure that what they want ain't going nowhere. Mm-hmm. So to the person who is dealing with someone they have identified as not being 100% truthful with them and is constant, ask yourself, can you trust this person implicitly? And also ask yourself, what are you willing to lose?
That was good. I think that was some great advice. Thank you so much. That concludes the list of questions that I have for you. Paula, before I let you go, I want to allow you to, you know, let the people know where they can find you, how they can seek therapy from you or counseling from you. You know, how can they keep up with you, Paula?
You can follow me on Instagram at feedingfear_less. I also have a Facebook, which I don't use much, but it's feedingfearless as well. Three separate words. And if you are interested in seeking therapy with me, you do have to reside in the state of Virginia. And I only do online therapy at this time. And I have a very small window of openings in the evening. So if you're interested in that, you can find that information on my Instagram. You can also find it on my website at www.feedingfearless.com. allone word.com.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. And I'll make sure everything is on the screen, guys, and in the description box below. All right, y'all. That concludes today's show. I actually got somewhere to go, and I will talk about that on another time. I didn't sign up for all these classes this year. I'm taking Spanish class. It's just too many classes. I signed up for too much. Y'all know what to do. If you need advice, give me a call, 240-587-3186. Call into the Dear Constance hotline. You guys already know the Cry About It, Then Write About It journal is going to be available for purchase soon. So if you would love a copy, make sure you click the link in the description box below so that you are notified when the journal drops. And lastly, if you haven't already done so, and I know a lot of y'all haven't, leave me a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts. All you got to do is download Apple Podcasts app. It's free. Search for The Constance Annan Show. Find my show on Apple Podcasts. Scroll down to the bottom. Give it 5 stars and leave you a thorough review. Do it for me. Do it for me, please. Okay? I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. And I will see you in the next one. Peace.